We certainly are thankful for the invitation. We were very thankful to be with you in the meeting a couple of years ago out there. Just a precious group of believers there, Union Primitive Baptist Church. And we certainly look forward, if the Lord will bless us, to be able to come that way again, to be able to see you and worship with you in person. Brother James is right whenever he speaks of the challenges of trying to preach across a computer screen. It's very challenging. Certainly, preaching has its challenges alone, and we stand in need of the Lord to bless us to overcome them. But one of the things that is allows us to be able to communicate with the people is to be able to see them while we speak to them. And a lot of times when we're speaking across the computer, we can't see everybody. As a matter of fact, right now my screen is focused on it doesn't have anybody on there that I can see. But nevertheless, if the Lord will bless us for just a few minutes tonight, I'm very thankful for the prayer that Brother Ronnie's offered. And we want to draw your attention to Deuteronomy chapter 32. And I'm going to read the first six verses of Deuteronomy chapter 32 and pray that the Lord will bless us just with a few thoughts from here. The word of the Lord reads, "Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak. And hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain. My speech shall distill as the dew. As the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass. Because I will publish the name of the Lord. Ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He is the rock. His work is perfect. For all his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. They have corrupted themselves. Their spot is not the spot of his children. They are a perverse and crooked generation. Do ye thus requite the Lord, O foolish people and unwise? Is not he thy father that hath bought thee? Hath he not made thee and establish thee?" It's amazing to me when I read the Word of God, and I suppose when I say amazing, I trust that the Word of God would always amaze us. But the way that the Lord inspired this book to be written, so that we are able to determine the personality and the thoughts and the emotions of the men who he inspired to write it is amazing to me. And not only the men who he inspired to write it, but just the way it captures the emotions so well. I'm reminded that when we read the book of 1 Samuel and we read about Hannah and we read of her prayer that she prayed, I don't know about you, but I can almost sense the despair coming off of the pages. When we read the New Testament books of 1st and 2nd Peter, we're able to see the wisdom of Peter being portrayed from the Word of God. It's much different from his personality, if you will, in the Gospels. It wasn't that he wasn't a wise man, but we can just see the change in him through the inspired Word of God. Well, I don't know about you, but whenever I read the book of Deuteronomy, and certainly towards as we approach the end of the book, I can sense the urgency in Moses as he speaks these words to the children of Israel. Of course, he's very soon going to pass. The Lord has told him that he's not to go into the land of Canaan. He blessed him to see it, but not to go into it. It was because he smote the rock instead of speaking to it in obedience to the Lord that the Lord told him that he wouldn't go in, but he blessed him to see it. And he blessed him to know that his time was near whenever he would depart this life. And we can sense the urgency throughout the book of Deuteronomy as he's speaking to the children of Israel, because he knows he's about to leave them. And the scriptures that I've read to you tonight, the end of the previous chapter tells us that this is a song that he spake unto them. And, you know, whenever I see the urgency in his words, and whenever I see him use language to give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. He's no doubt wanting to be heard. I believe there's a good way to want to be heard, and there's a bad way to want to be heard. In our society today, we're witnessing people that have a right to be heard, some of them in a law-abiding way, a lot of them in a way which is contrary to law, but nevertheless, they want to be heard. You know, I see people on the street whenever I'm driving up and down the road, and I drive with my windows down if the weather will permit. That's just part of the personality of people that grow up in South Georgia. We ride with our windows down. We like to feel the elements outside. It can be hot outside, and I still like to feel the breeze of the air coming through my window. And one of the things I despise is whenever I pull up next to somebody and they have their car speakers on so loud that I'm made to hear the words that they're listening to in their music. And really, it's not that they want to hear that music that much louder. What they want is for you to hear their music. They want to be heard. And a lot of it is very foolish and obscure things that are not even appropriate for public. Those are bad ways of being heard. I want to tell you, Moses tells us about a good way to be heard, because he in his urgency is crying unto the children of Israel to tell them some things about the Lord. And if there's ever a good reason to be heard, to proclaim the goodness of our God is a good reason to speak, and it's a good reason to listen. And not only good things about our God, but some things to be warning, things to warn us, because the Lord loves us. He's blessed us to be able to hear, blessed us to be able to have possession of these words that Moses spake, so that we would be able to hear those very warnings that were given to the children of Israel many years ago. But if the Lord will be with us for just a few minutes, I want to see some things that Moses calls their attention to in his urgency. And that he says he would that even the heavens and the earth would hear. And I know that the heavens and the earth, they're not subject to our voice. They weren't subject to Moses' voice. Certainly they're subject to God's voice. The scripture tells us that they were amazed and marveled, that even the winds and the sea obeyed the voice of God. He can speak unto them, and they obey. But the winds and the sea do not obey our voice. Moses is not calling for them to obey his voice. He's calling for his cry to be heard from the heavens all the way down to the earth, that the children of Israel would hear what the Lord has blessed him to be able to say. And what he alludes to and what he points them to, first of all, is his doctrine. His doctrine. You know, if all we were reading about tonight was Moses' doctrine, and if that's all it was, I don't know that I could tune in from Kite, Georgia to talk to people in Ruth, Mississippi, in North Carolina. I don't know if I could bring myself to do it. It's not that it wouldn't be a worthy thing for me to talk to y'all, but I think there'd be some other things that y'all would find more worthy of your time, and probably me too. You know, there's some things, there's some stories, and there's some tales that whenever my family gets together, we love to retell old stories. We love to retell things that our parents and grandparents stood for and that they believed were right. If they're supported by God's word, then all the more better. We need to repeat them. But every once in a while, we can just have some ideas and thoughts that we think are good. And if what I'm about to read to you in regards to Moses' speech and to the children of Israel is just his thoughts, and he's alluding to his doctrine alone, then I think we'd be in need of something far greater. But what Moses is saying is he's not saying these are mine by authority, that this is my doctrine according to origin. What he's saying is this is my doctrine according to possession because the Lord has given it to me. The Lord has blessed me to be a partaker of it and to be a possessor of his instruction to me. And his instruction not only to me, but to you, children of Israel. You know, the Apostle Paul alludes three times, I believe, in the New Testament. He refers to what he preached into the churches as his gospel, my gospel. Well, I want to tell you, he was not the originator of that gospel. He was not the one who had authority over that gospel. But because the Lord had blessed him to be a partaker of that gospel truth and had blessed him to be in possession of it and to be blessed to be able to rejoice in that gospel, he referred to it as being his. But if it was just his, it won't be near as beneficial to us and to him as it would be if we recognize where it comes from and where this doctrine that Moses is referring to came from is from above. It came from God. He said, my doctrine shall drop as the rain. And I tell you, just as the rain comes down from above, the doctrine and instruction that the Lord gives, it doesn't come from beneath to above. It comes down from above to beneath. The source of what he is alluding to is from God, and he's crying unto them to listen to the instruction and to the doctrines of God. Listen to what the Lord would tell you. Oh, that the heavens and that the earth would hear. Listen to what the Lord is crying unto us. My doctrine shall drop as the rain. And I tell you, just as the source, as we see the source of the doctrine of the rain, doctrine as the rain, and he compares it also to the distillery of the dew, we see not only the source of that instruction, but we see the effect of the instruction that God would give us. You see, whenever rain falls upon a tender earth, showers fall upon the grass, and dew is distilled upon the surface of the ground, it has an effect upon that ground. This morning, I got ready to leave to go to work, and I realized that the shoes that I wanted to wear to work were in my truck. And instead of sliding on my slip-on shoes and going and getting them out of the truck, I thought, well, my truck's just right there by the carport. I can just walk out there across the grass and get my boots on. Well, whenever I arrived at my truck, I realized before I could get my shoe on that the bottom of my foot was inundated with moisture. And then unless I wanted my feet to be wet all day, I needed to go back in and to change my socks. You see, the dew, it completely inundates the ground with moisture. And whenever rain falls upon a tender herb, and whenever rain falls upon the grass, there's an effect upon that element that it falls upon. And it has an effect there, and it blesses it to be able to come forth and grow fruit because it's come down from above. It's just like the man that's spoken about in Psalms 1, where the scripture tells us that he should be as a tree that's planted beside rivers of water. And the reason why that one that is a blessed man, who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly and doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful, the reason why he's as a tree planted beside rivers of water, and the reason why his delight is in the law of the Lord, is I tell you, the reason why he's a tree planted beside rivers of water is because there's a source of nutrients and a source of moisture so that that tree is able to grow. And I tell you, where the Lord's doctrine and where the Lord's instruction is blessed to be able to fall, it has an effect upon those upon whom it falls. The Lord has blessed those who have been partakers of the truth down through the ages to be affected by the blessings of the truth that we've been partakers of. And then Moses is alluding to them and reminding them, remember the instruction that the Lord has given you to this point. Remember how he's guided you with his words. Remember how, and hear me whenever I speak and remind you about these precious things that have come down from above. I tell you, rain is precious to the common man. We see ourselves in need of it. We know that, and I don't know about out there, but here in southeast Georgia, the ground has begun to bring forth some of the fruit that we planted in spring. We're able to eat of it, the fresh squash and the fresh cucumbers, the potatoes. And I could just keep going on and on. I've already eaten supper. I guess y'all have already eaten out there in Mississippi too, even though y'all are an hour behind us. But nevertheless, we're able to see the fruit of the ground and to see the effect and to know that unless the Lord blessed the rain to come down from above, unless he blessed it to be able to be nurtured in that way, there's no way that we could be partakers of anything. Well, I tell you, Moses says, my doctrine shall drop as the rain. You listen to me, so that it would have an effect upon where it lands, so that it will bless where the Lord blesses it to be bestowed upon his children. I tell you, the scripture says every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights. I tell you, if our blessings are from beneath, if we're looking for blessings from beneath and not from above, we're looking for them from the wrong source. I don't want to hear doctrine of this world. I want to hear doctrines of the Word of God. I want to hear what he would speak to us. I want to hear not only what he would speak, I want to hear about him. You know, I want to hear about my Lord. I want to hear the things that he tells us about himself and his word. Our God is a jealous God. And sometimes I get tired of being around people that just want me to hear about them. I want to hear about my Lord. And I tell you, in the midst of us having his doctrine, we can have descriptions of him. Listen to what he says. He says about his name. He says, I will, verse 3, because I will publish the name of the Lord. He says, I'm going to tell you about the name of God. I'm going to tell you about his name. You know, we can call his name Jesus today. The very name means Savior. The very name means that he saves. And I want to tell you about the name of Jesus, is that there's no other name under heaven whereby we must be saved. It must be through the name of Jesus. And I want to tell you, whenever it comes to eternal salvation, we're not saved to eternity through his name. But I tell you, we're saved through eternity through the blood of the name of Jesus. It was Jesus's blood that was shed for us. It was Jesus's blood that saved us. There's no salvation in any other. Whenever it comes to be delivered from temporal things and timely things here in this world, we're delivered through the instructions and through the words of Jesus. We save ourselves from this untoward generation through Jesus.
He is our means and mode of salvation in each and every way. And what Moses said is he says, I will publish the name of the Lord. I want to tell you about his name. I want to tell you how he has a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee should bow. He said, ascribe ye greatness unto our God. Oh, give him the credit. Ascribe him the greatness. Don't ascribe any greatness to any man. And I want to tell you, I've known some great men. I know great men. I know men who are great servants of the Lord. And I don't say that to mean in an unbiblical way. We read in 2 Kings chapter 4 of a great woman of Shunem. And whenever we read about great people in the scriptures, what we're reading about is faithful people. What we're reading about is people who walked in the way and in the will of God. Well, I can tell you, I know some great men today. I know some great women today, some great saints of the Lord, and I'm thankful to know them. I'm thankful to be a part of their lives. But I want to tell you, whenever it comes to greatness, whenever it comes to the one who we ascribe to being the source of anyone's goodness or greatness that may be great, he is the source of any of that, and he deserves the credit for it. Ascribe ye greatness unto our God. Give him the credit. I want to tell you, if we're careful to read back through the scriptures, we can see several times in God's word that God does not appreciate not being acknowledged for what he's done and for who he is. You know, if you'll remember the prophet Isaiah when he cried unto Israel, and I believe Moses himself is prophesying in regards to some things that took place around the same time that Moses is prophesying about some things that came to fruition during Isaiah's day. You know, he's also prophesying about some times that took place around the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ. But I tell you, Isaiah, when he cried unto Israel, he said, the ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but my people doth not know. My people doth not consider. They don't consider and ascribe greatness unto me. They don't even know me. I don't think he was alluding to the fact that they didn't know him in their heart and that they didn't know him from the source of the new birth. But what they didn't do is ascribe and give him credit for who he was. Whenever Jesus walked this earth in his ministry, there were those that just looked upon him as being the son of a carpenter. They just looked upon him as just being one of them. And it was not his looks. It was not any beauty that they should behold him whenever they saw him. It was the things in which he spoke, and it was the work in which he performed, and it was his very testimony of who he was that should have desired and that should have brought about a desire of those that heard him to ascribe unto him the greatness that he was. I tell you, there's no goodness and greatness in us. The only goodness that's in us, the only thing that may be good about us, is because our Lord put it within us. And I'm not telling you that the good things that you do, that God in heaven is like a puppet making you do them. But I will tell you that you have a nature that you got from Adam that is marred and that is corrupt and that is mean and that there's nothing good about. But because the Lord has blessed you to be born again, he's blessed you to have a new nature in addition to the nature that you were born naturally with. And that new nature and that new creature is the means whereby you possess anything that is good. All those good things come from God. Ascribe ye is what the scripture says, greatness unto our God. I want to tell you, Moses is crying and say, you hear me now. You hear about this doctrine. You hear about these instructions. You remember the character of our God. He says a little bit further down, he says in regards to his character, he's a God of truth and he's without iniquity. Just and right is he. I want to tell you, have you ever, man, I tell you, I was a little bit concerned about trying to speak across this speaker tonight and thinking to myself, I don't know what it'll be like to preach across Zoom. And now that we're 25 minutes into this, I tell you, there's just not enough time to tell you about all the good things that God is for us. and that he is to us. He is the rock, is what he says. His work is perfect. Have you ever known God to do anything that we couldn't say was perfect? His plan of salvation is perfect. His execution of salvation is perfect. His operation of how he has authority and control over all things is perfect. His work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment. See, his character is he's a God of truth and without iniquity. Just and right is he. He's right every time. Scripture says that there's many times that we can seek out our own invention, our own inventions. But only the counsel of the Lord shall stand. He's always right. You know, sometimes we can say with a smile whenever we have a disagreement with somebody that, well, you got to listen to me because I'm always right. I trust you understand I'm saying that with a smile. But y'all, we're not always right. But I want to tell you, our God's always right. His book is all truth, and he's all right. He's not all right from the standpoint of he's just all right. He's all the time right. He's never wrong. He's the parent and the father, if you will, that can never err. This is the description of the character of our God. Hear me now is what Moses is saying. Hear what I'm telling you. And then he, in closing, I want to say this in verses 5 and 6. Reminds them of what he's saying is going to happen. And you know, some people may read this and say, well, Moses is preaching fatalism to them. He's telling them what's going to come to pass. He says it in chapter 31 in verse 29. He says, for I know that after my death, you will utterly corrupt yourselves and turn aside from the way which I have commanded you. And evil will befall you in the latter days because you will do evil in the sight of the Lord and provoke him to anger through the work of your hands. He's saying here, they have corrupted themselves. In the verses I read to you from chapter 32, he says, they have corrupted themselves. Their spot is not the spot of his children. They are perverse and crooked generation. Do you thus requite the Lord, O foolish people and unwise? Is not he thy father that hath bought thee? He not made thee and established thee? He's saying, listen to me now. He's not saying that these ones who are hearing his voice this day, there's no hope for them to obey. What he's reminding them, if you go back and you read chapter 28, I believe, of this same book, he tells them, if you shall hearken diligently into the voice of the Lord, then there's some blessings going to come upon you. But if you don't listen to the Lord, there's some curses that are going to come upon you. And I believe that the same source of truth, same source of all these good things that we read about our Lord that he's done for us, he's the same source that'll bring judgment upon us. And I want to tell you, God's judgment's not bad. It's right every time because he loves us. But he reminds us of how quickly, see, Moses says that shortly after my death, how quickly we can let the blessings of the Lord slip from our minds. Let the description of the character and goodness of God slip from our minds. Let his instruction leave us. We'll be without hope, without his presence in our life. You know what I mean when I say without his presence. Everyone who his will is to go to glory is going to glory. But listen to the urgency of Moses. I don't know about y'all, but I'd have never thought on the third weekend in March whenever I went to regular meeting for the last time, I never thought that I wouldn't see the next weekend the brothers and sisters that I had worshiped with that weekend. I didn't know that so quickly something that's so precious would just be gone. And I don't say that to say that it's gone forever. I believe that the Lord's going to hear our cry and the Lord's going to bless us to be able to return again, to rejoice again in the way in which we have in times past. But it ought to just remind us of how quick the things that we love so much and that we appreciate so much can just go away. Well, I tell you, I don't want to go away from the one who Moses described here and who he cries unto us about.
I want to be around him. I want to be with him. I want to take his yoke upon me, and I want to learn more about him. I want to walk with him. I want my family to fellowship with him. I want to be with his saints. I want to be blessed by him. I tell you, I believe the way that the scripture tells us that we are going to be is if these cries that Moses cries unto heaven and to the earth, if we'll hear them, if we'll hear his instruction, if we'll follow his doctrine, I believe there's blessings there. I believe in failing to do so, there's judgment. But nevertheless, may the Lord bless us to rejoice once again in the things in which we have rejoiced in many times. May the Lord bless us to hear this cry of Moses and take heed and to hearken unto him and to ascribe the things that the Lord has done for us and ascribe the greatness that he's worthy of to him. May the Lord bless us to do them. Thank you, Brother James, for inviting us to come and tell you all about Jesus for just a little while. And I pray that if the Lord is, if anybody's felt a blessing from it, that you'll ascribe the source of the blessings to our God in heaven. Thank you, Brother James.